Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. The prophet Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am lost, from a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Paul says this, "I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Peter, or Simon at this point in time, says to Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." All of these three have something in common. They are disgraced. But they are also called. Isaiah, Paul, Peter are called to be leaders. Isaiah the prophet, Paul the apostle, Peter the first church leader. I'd like to consider this morning, are they called despite being disgraced, or are they called because they are disgraced? Helena Kennedy, Baroness Kennedy, describes someone who is disgraced as having a raw and exposed humanity. And that's because the larger community has decided that the disgraced person is beyond the pale. We see this in the prophet Isaiah. In fact, it's the whole community in the prophet Isaiah that's been placed beyond the pale and they're now being overrun. We see it with Paul. He is feared by the Christian church because he persecuted them. He was there with the death of Stephen and encouraged that death, and so he is, if you like, beyond the pale. Peter, who even later goes on to even deny his being a friend of Jesus three times that night when Jesus was taken prisoner, when he needed his friends around him, he knows what it's like to be disgraced because he's denied the one he had faith in. They all understand that feeling of raw and exposed humanity. And these examples of disgrace have made me reflect upon two things this morning. Firstly, how easily do we forgive and reintegrate the disgraced? If indeed we do, do we forgive and reintegrate the disgraced one? And then, what group of people do we still treat as disgraced, rather like in our shameful history we might have treated the Jews or homosexuals as disgraced in the past? Is there a group of people that we would still treat as disgraced today? So firstly, how do we forgive and reintegrate those who are disgraced? In our papers today, we've been reading, we've been reading about Liam Neeson. He admitted to wanting to fight and even kill a black man after a friend of his was raped by a black man. Yes, that behavior is beyond the pale. That admission is beyond the pale. It's deeply racist to condemn one group of people for the actions of one person in that group. It is the lynching mentality that we sometimes have seen in the southern states and other places. But if you listen to that interview where Liam makes that admission, he reflects upon things that are important to reflect upon. He reflects upon the spiraling nature of revenge violence, something that he knows very well. He grew up in the Troubles of Northern Ireland, and he knew how one act of violence led to another act of violence. So he could reflect upon how he was caught up in that. But he also states that he feels ashamed. He is ashamed, and he's acknowledging in the public, he is ashamed of what he felt, what he wanted to do nearly 40 years ago. It does not make it right in any way, but it opens up a debate that we can have on actions and feelings from those 40 years ago. A debate which includes maybe highlighting the hidden nature of rape. There's no indication that the person who raped this woman was ever caught. We might want to reflect upon the brutalizing nature of a violent society. Would Liam Neeson have had the same response today in, let's say, Hampshire, if that had happened to a friend, as he did coming out of Northern Ireland in the Troubles? How is he brutalized by the society around him? And then that debate, what responsibility does a 66-year-old have for the feelings and the desires they have in their mid-20s? Liam's admission can open up a dialogue. Maybe it could steer young men of this generation away from a path of prejudice and violence. We see this opening up of dialogue in the health service, for example, where doctors and nurses and others are encouraged to admit the mistakes they make, where whistleblowers, at least in theory, are welcome, because only in this way do we learn. Only in this way can the harm that has been done not be done in the future. Can we have a different outcome? Liam Neeson's admission is disgraceful, but good can come from that admission, because, not despite its disgraceful nature. And then what group of people do we still subject to disgrace today? The group that I have found when I'm with them to have been to feel disgrace themselves are a group who are transitioning, who are changing gender, who suffer gender dysphoria. Recently there was a case where a man who was transitioning to a woman was placed in a woman's prison and went on to assault women. And I've heard that one case used to exclude all transitioning people being allowed to self-identify, an approach very similar to what happened to Liam Neeson's categorizing of all black men on the actions of one black man, actions that he said he was ashamed of. So why is it okay today to judge transitioning people who are struggling with gender dysphoria, where their biological sex is different from their gender identity? Why is it okay to judge that group of people? I've spent some time with people who are transitioning, and they often have feelings of disgust projected upon them. Disgust both from those of their biological sex and those of their gender identity. Why are we not outraged by this when we are rightly outraged by racism or homophobia? Yes, attacks on women by someone transitioning are abhorrent, but that's a failure of risk assessment, and it led to a life sentence in this case. But why do we forget about all of those many transitioning inmates who are attacked disproportionately compared to other prisoners? Jesus always went to the outsider. Jesus always went to the one whose society had disgraced. So he went to the prostitute. He went to the collaborating tax collector. He went to the demon-possessed. We also need to go to the outsider. We also need to go to the disgraced and hear what it feels like to be beyond the pale. How does Liam Neeson now feel when Hollywood has ostracized him for talking about shameful feelings of revenge? And how does the transitioning community feel when their own feelings of identity are denied?